Welcome back. Welcome back. We're here again, continuing our Back to Basics series. Last week, we had a little bit of a break from that. We had so much fun. I hope you realized, and I think you did, because we had amazing response when we spoke with Dr. Cardiologist Stephen Sinatra. He's a cardiologist, a psychologist, an environmental medicine doc, and a chelation doctor. So he has a very broad scope to draw from, and we had so much fun. I'm here today with my co-host, or maybe I'm not. Hi, Carol, are you there? Not yet. Okay, well, Carol will be here with me. And we are continuing our Back to Basics series, but we're also going to be going back and forth from Back to Basics to interviews, because we've really missed the opportunity to talk with other practitioners, leaders in the field, the spearheads of so much of what we speak about. So, today we're going to talk about melatonin. And melatonin, when we think of it, what do we think of? We think of a hormone, we think of sleep. But how many of us think that it's the most important antioxidant in our body? Wow, what a surprise. Well, we got lots to learn today, and we're really looking forward to continuing. So let's talk about melatonin and its benefits. And many of us don't really understand. Actually, a lot of this information we're going to be sharing today is relatively new information. And so it's going to be new to you. And some of it was new to us in terms of looking this up and working with it. Melatonin is a powerful antioxidant. It's also an anti-inflammatory, and it's also a mitochondrial protector. And now, we generally don't think of that. We think of melatonin for sleep, and it's a very important hormone for sleep released from the pineal and released from the pineal gland, and then...
Lauren, are you able to hear me now?
Oh, yes. Were you there before?
Yes. I don't know what happened. I had to log out and get back in.
Oh, I play that game also.
Very strange. Uh-huh. So, thank you for getting that going. I'm just out in the abyss. So you were doing very well. I could hear you.
Okay.
I was going to bring up about the pineal gland. I was really surprised to see that only 5% of our melatonin actually comes from there.
I know. Isn't that a surprise? Because all of us, if you ask anybody, walk down the street, ask anybody, melatonin, a little gland in the brain released at night. But that's only 5% of it. Where's the rest of it coming from? And if it's not coming from the pineal, where's it coming from? And how is it affecting the cells? Now, the pineal gland releases melatonin in darkness. And that darkness allows the pineal gland to release melatonin, which is very powerful hormone. And that hormone works as an anti-inflammatory. It works as an antioxidant. It works in the brain and throughout the body because it moves into the circulatory system. But there is another form of melatonin, and it's called subcellular. And where does that come from, Carol? 95% of the melatonin in our body?
95% of it is made in our little energy organelle called the mitochondria, which we've talked about many, many times already. And this is really quite fascinating because there is a theory that mitochondria in our human cells evolved from a bacteria that prehistorically, in a prehistoric life form, we started eating those bacteria, and by some process, they became part of us. And so mitochondria cells in our body, which produce all our energy, is sometimes considered a symbiotic situation between our human cells and something that may have not been human. I think the story is still out on that. I don't know the full part of that, but I think it's so fascinating. And what is it? You can track your mother through your mitochondria.
Yes, your mother for your mitochondria, which right. then literally tells you your your energy, the amount of energy that you, natural energy that you'll have throughout your life. It's a really important thing to understand. But since melatonin is made in the mitochondria, now we know that there's certain areas in the body that make more melatonin than others, and one is the retina of the eyes, the other is the heart, the other is the liver, but where is the rest made? And what we're finding out, that melatonin is made in every single cell in the body. And that is really an important statement, because the body utilizes melatonin for health. Now, listen, I'm going to interrupt this talk very quickly.
Yes, get people calling us.
Exactly. I didn't give out the number because I got off timing. The number to call, and call in, and please, there's so much new information here. If you want to, pull out your pencil, take notes. If not, go to the archives and listen to this again. But also, call in and ask us questions, because this information is important. It's important to your health. It's important to your cardiac health. It's important to your eye health. And it's particularly important with anybody with mitochondrial diseases, which most diseases begin in mitochondrial dysfunction. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Give us a call, because we'd love to hear you, and we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to answer your questions. So, Carol?
Well, a couple of things you said about the organs that have the most melatonin production. They also have the most density of mitochondria in
exactly.
the cells. So that's a tie-in piece. I was looking at some of this information. I thought, this is fascinating, that cellular melatonin is produced and used right there. If you go and have melatonin tested, and you can, you will not be measuring this intracellular melatonin. You'll be only measuring that which comes from the pineal gland. So that intracellular melatonin is responsible for autophagy. That's been a new word that's been not in the vocabulary until maybe the last decade or so. We started talking about autophagy. It means auto for self, and phagy means eating.
Digestion.
Eating ourselves. And what that involves is that in order to have healthy cells, our bodies go through this process of digesting cells that are deficient or cells that are misshapen. But it doesn't just discard all that cellular material, because it's valuable to the cell. So once that is eaten up, it's recycled. Those basic ingredients that made up that cells recycled in your body and made into fresh new cells. So I think that's
healthy.
Very healthy and very, very exciting. We learn that when you go on fasting diets, that after a few days, you ramp up this ability to autophage, to eat up your defective cells and make new cells. So this melatonin is very involved in that. Another thing which is important when we talk about cancer, and we'll be going into more of that, I'm sure, apoptosis. This is when abnormal cells self-destruct or die because they're abnormal. And in the case of cancer, these abnormal cells are not dying. They're continuing. They split and they reproduce. Apoptosis is the mechanism they should be going through, and that's what melatonin also helps with it, that you discard faulty cells. So they're tied up into each other a lot. But I think this is really, really essential to some of the things. But I'd like to move back. Let's talk again about the nighttime. The nighttime process, how melatonin works.
Well, the nighttime process is from the pineal, and 5%, and it's released from the pineal. And the thing that's so unique about melatonin, and only one other nutrient that we know of at this time, lipoic acid, is that it's fat soluble and it's water soluble. Therefore, it can flood every area of the brain. And since it's such a powerful antioxidant and it's moving through the brain, it's literally cleansing the brain from the day's activity. That is, if it's being released. But it can be blocked from being released from the brain by light, and particularly blue light, but also other things will block it. Well, blue light is very important. And where does blue light come from? Our cell phones, the TV,
computers.
Yes, I almost forgot. So people who are using their computers till they go to bed, they're blocking any release of melatonin. Now, melatonin doesn't put you to sleep. It prepares you for sleep. So if you're watching TV and then turn it off, expect to go to sleep, it becomes more difficult because there has been no melatonin release, no preparatory melatonin to be released. So what can we do to boost our melatonin in the nighttime? And then we're going to talk about the subcellular form of melatonin, because we're talking about two sides of a coin. It's exactly the opposite. And that's the fun part. And so how do we boost our melatonin at night? Well, we deal with darkness. Our rooms have to be dark. I love blackout shades. You know, Carol and I used to go to conferences in Europe. And you'd rent a hotel room, and you'd push this button, and these shades would come down, and the room would be so dark that you couldn't even find your bed. You couldn't find the bedside table. Right. Nothing. It was almost like a sensory deprivation. You'd crawl in bed. Now, I wake up automatically every day about the same time. It just takes me a little while to adjust to a different time, but I'm up. I'm awake. And so I said, well, I don't really need to set my alarm. When I woke up, it was 12 noon. I just slept through. And when I woke up, it was still dark. And I couldn't find anything. And I was able to find the button to raise the shades. And I realized that I had slept through it in the deepest, most delicious sleep I ever had. And that's what happens when you get darkness, when you go to sleep. It's another level of depth of sleep that's so delicious. You wake up refreshed. It's almost surprising. It's a different feeling. And then the other thing to build your melatonin at night, surprise, surprise, is sunlight in the daytime. And it doesn't have to be direct sunlight. It could be sunlight refracted off the grass. It could be sunlight throughout the area. It can be sunlight through the clouds, but being outside in the air in natural light for a certain amount of time every day stimulates our body to help make melatonin at night. The next thing, no heavy eating before bed. How many of us eat right before bed? Oh, I can't sleep. Maybe I'll eat some ice cream. Well, that pushes up our glucose and pushes up our insulin and drops our blood glucose eventually. And our adrenaline increases and our cortisol then increases. And what is that? Energy, fight or flight hormones. Wake up, your mind is going, oh, I've got this to do, that, oh my goodness, or a panic attack. The other thing is to reduce stress. I love hot baths with Epsom salt and no TV, particularly news right before bed, because you'll get so agitated, your brain can't stop. And then nutrients that are really good and support melatonin are ones that we've been talking about for the last month and a half. Magnesium folate, B3, B6, B12, zinc, and calcium. But also tryptophan. And tryptophan we find in walnuts. We find it in warmed milk. We find it in proteins like turkey. We also find it in mushrooms. And all of these are good foods to eat in the evening, maybe for dinner. Then wine and coffee also have an effect, but at the same time, they have other effects, so it might end up negative. And yellow and green vegetables, those are just ways to naturally boost your nighttime melatonin. But Carol,
yeah, fine with, there's some tips I'd like to put in here. If you are using computers and you're using cell phones, you can find apps that will help change the blue light coming out of your screens. They're blue light adapters, and you can set a time and your screen will actually fade a little bit, but there'll be less blue light coming out of it. So that is preparing you for sleep. These things can even be timed, which I think is pretty cool. You'll see people wearing glasses while they're on the computer. The glasses are orange tinted and they're blocking out the blue light, which is the particular light that does decrease melatonin. So Corinne and I attended a conference with Dr. Frank Schellenberger, and Russell Ryder was the speaker at this conference. This was some years ago. Russell Ryder is a professor in the University of Texas at San Antonio, and he's written a book on melatonin. I'll post this at our Facebook page. That's Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne and Carol. So I'll post the link to Dr. Ryder's book, which is really quite comprehensive. There's more stuff than we can cover today. I asked him personally about the orange glasses, and he said, yes, they're helpful, but you really need to even have the sides of the glasses are letting in light. You have to keep that in mind. So they're not perfect, but people have been using them. You can find them online. You can find them at stores that sell glasses these days. So a lot of people are trying to do this. I always wonder, Corinne, and this is not something I can answer, or you can answer that I know, you know, the complete blackout. I wonder about that and melatonin, because we do get exposed to moonlight, and I don't know that moonlight has a degrading effect on melatonin like artificial lights do. I think rather not.
Well, that's more of a blue light also. But at the same time, the darkness and then the changing of the moonlight has a lot of control over our cycles. And I think melatonin has a lot to do with that. And there was a point of time when I had a young woman who came in, and she couldn't get pregnant. And a couple of the things I did was I gave her progesterone, your very own favorite, but only
yes.
at certain only at certain times of the month, the first half of the cycle. And then I had her get blackout shades and use them for the first half of the cycle. And other dietary changes. And I feel, and she got pregnant in a couple of months, and she had been trying for about a year and a half. And I feel that the last piece of that, those blackout shades, really made a difference for her and her ability to conceive. I think it's really powerful. But then we have subset cellular melatonin, and that's made in the mitochondria. Now, the pineal, the nighttime is made in the pineal, the daytime is made in the mitochondria. And what stimulates that to be made, Carol? Do you know? Trick question. Da 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 da. I know.
I don't know how to answer that. I bet you know.
Yes. Sunlight. Sunlight. Okay. UV light will stimulate the mitochondria to increase melatonin in the daytimes. And so when you create that balance, what you have is a very powerful antioxidant action in the cells that's protecting our heart, that's protecting our brain, that's protecting our retina, all very delicate tissues that respond powerfully, and our fertility glands, all of our endocrine glands respond very powerfully to melatonin cycles. So
Dr. Ryder said, don't forget this. He said, light is a drug.
And it is. I'd like to drink some.
It just speaks to what you're saying, and actually the removal of light
has artificial
uh-huh. lights. I wanted to talk about, since you introduced my favorite hormone, I don't know if it's my favorite, but it seems like people are so deficient in progesterone. I can't help but bring it up all the time. Progesterone balances estrogen, but melatonin is also has what a Life Extension article calls an anti-estrogen effect. Mm-hmm. And in the case of breast cancer, melatonin has actually been used in patients. It seems to potentiate some of the chemotherapy and drugs like tamoxifen, which block estrogen receptors. They're much more stronger when melatonin is there. And I remember quite some years ago, there was an article published about using melatonin in the treatment of breast cancer. And it was used in doses of 200 milligrams several times a day, three or four times a day for breast cancer. Now, I'm mentioning this dosage because another thing Dr. Ryder says, there is no toxic level of melatonin ever been determined. Well, so when we look at what's available over the counter, we see 3 milligrams, 6 milligrams, 10 milligrams. Uh-huh. We see a sustained release, not saying sustained release. We see liposomal melatonin. Corinne, do you want to care about, put some words in what you like to use in your practice and what results you see?
I don't like sustained release. Melatonin is a burst that's released and then utilized and then removed. So I don't like sustained release. I don't like melatonin being discharged throughout the night. But let me just stop 1 second and say 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call. Tell us your experience on melatonin. It will be very interesting because this would really add to our discussion. 212-209-2877. And so I don't like sustained release. Liposomal, I don't think it's necessary. We don't need to fat solubilize melatonin. It's already fat soluble. So I don't know if liposomal would block it into going into the water side of the cell, but it's naturally fat soluble. So, and I start people low because I want them to feel comfortable. I find that high serotonin people don't feel real well on high amounts of melatonin. So I start them low, and then we double it, and we double it, and we double it. And we have people on 40 milligrams a day, every night. One, those who want to protect against breast cancer, those whose parents had Alzheimer's, we want to protect their brain. We want them to sleep deep and secure and their brain to be protected. You know, Alzheimer's patients go through this thing called sundowners. And it's a state when right about dusk, as it's going late, there's agitation and anger, and sometimes these people try to run away or they become combative. And what you find with very low doses, you start with a very low dose of melatonin, very often that can get turned around, because that is the point where the body is shifting from the daytime melatonin to the nighttime melatonin, and their pineals are not able to release it. Now, I've heard certain things, and I've heard it on the internet in preparing for this. Don't take melatonin. I don't like melatonin because it's a hormone. And when you take it, your body won't produce it anymore. But at the same time, I've heard those same people say melatonin is very sensitive to calcium. And so it can be the pineal, not melatonin. The pineal is very sensitive to calcium. So the pineal gland can get calcified and not be able to release melatonin. It's also very sensitive to fluoride. And so the fluoride stiffens its tissue and reduces the pineal gland's ability to make melatonin. And there, so here you have, we know that melatonin, as people age, goes down, okay? And yet, we need that brain protection. We live in these rooms with streetlights right outside our window, which is very common. We watch TV till we go to bed while we're eating ice cream. not such a good idea. And so what happens is that our ability to make melatonin is reduced. So they're saying, don't take it because it'll block the gland. But the gland is already not functioning optimally. So I don't totally agree with that. If I know someone has had breast cancer, if I know someone who has had ovary cancer, ovarian cancer, or testicular cancer, I want them on high amounts of melatonin every single night. Not time release, but high amounts. And when they do that, we see statistics of reduced recurrence of these cancers. Once they've been put into remission, we see statistics of a higher level of maintaining that remission. And so it's very interesting. Like you said, Dr. Ryder told us there's no toxic level of melatonin. And if melatonin is that low and you're not able to sleep, then it's good to take it. I totally agree with taking it. You know, the incandescent light, the old light bulbs, they released a red light And in releasing that red light, they supported, like the sun, they supported the making of melatonin. But now when we've got all of these fluorescent lights.
And LEDs.
And LEDs, it is not allowing, it's blocking the body's ability to uptake more the melatonin or make the melatonin. And what they're finding is kids in these rooms with LEDs and fluorescent, they're finding a reduced gray matter in the brain. And these children are not able to learn as well because their melatonin is being blocked. And we know the benefits of melatonin in the brain and for the immune system. We didn't even talk about the cycle of melatonin creating it. Melatonin is released and then DHEA is released and that starts to come down and then testosterone is released. And in the mornings, male testosterone is the highest it'll be throughout the day. And that's because at the beginning of the night, around 10 to 11, when we all got into bed, we released that melatonin, and it's a cycle, one after another after another. Carol?
Let's go into one of those organs that you mentioned that really produces a lot of melatonin because there are a lot of mitochondria, is the heart. And this is some of the things melatonin does for the heart. It prevents free radical damage. It inhibits the formation of plaque. If you have soft plaque, and soft plaque is considered more dangerous than hard plaque, soft plaque is more likely to peel off and cause a blockage somewhere. So it changes soft plaque into hard plaque. It decreases aggregation of platelets. It maintains the microvascular structure that's in the heart and all over the place. Prevents the destruction of cardiomyocytes. Those are the cells that are becoming cardiac cells. Decreases inflammation. Decreases heart fibrosis, which is very interesting. Blood pressure thing. It has a positive effect on blood pressure. And in fact, you could take as little as 2.5 milligrams of melatonin at bedtime and see a reduction in blood pressure. That's pretty remarkable.
That is remarkable.
How many people get that as a first line recommendation? Or alternatively, do all the things we just talked about to increase your melatonin naturally.
Yeah, a nice warm Epsom salt bath, which we talk about literally every week, right before bed, increases magnesium and makes us sleepy, but also simultaneously with magnesium increase would assist the body to release melatonin. The number to call, 212-209-2877. Let's hear from you. So, Carol, there's so much more. There are studies showing that the effectiveness of vitamin D, which we all know is powerful immune support and immune stimulator, is enhanced by melatonin. That melatonin is that key that makes the vitamin D stronger and more effective. And you put together that with vitamin K, MK7, vitamin D, and melatonin, you've got a very powerful immune resistance.
You certainly do. And if you look in the literature, there have been numerous studies now published about the effectiveness, particularly of melatonin combined with vitamin D for treating the thing. Its antiviral effect.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. And where do we hear that? How come our CDC is not telling us all to be using some very cheap ingredients and using this to support our immune system as well as help us when we're struggling with trying to overcome an infection of some sort. So that just gobsmacked me. It reduces respiratory distress. Hello.
And where do I just saw a study that was just submitted to be published, and it showed melatonin blocking viruses.
Yeah,
I also know of a company that's in the process of going through FDA approval with IV melatonin in the 200, 300. They're working with Dr. Ryder also. Uh-huh. And they're in Europe. They're approved in Europe. They're trying to get approved here, where IV melatonin blocks bacterial infections, blocks sepsis, and blocks viruses. So we can get a large percentage of that by working with our own bodies, by taking some melatonin and not being afraid of it. We don't need to be afraid of it. You just start slow. Some people don't feel, they feel a little drugged when they wake up the next morning. That's few and far between, but you just lower the dose. I started it at 0.1 milligram. Uh-huh. Just, I take two of them, knocked out, gone. And now I've built up to 40 milligrams every single night. I want my brain protected. I want my brain to live and be focused as long as my healthy body. And I think that's what we all want. And that's what we're hoping that you understand this and utilize these beautiful, non-toxic tools. And you literally changed the paradigm. And that's the power of it. You changed the paradigm. The number to call is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Everybody that walks in my office, Carol, when I talk with them, they all can recite to me their experiences with melatonin. There isn't one. Even people who don't take supplements, there isn't one that hasn't tried melatonin. Everybody has tried melatonin for different reasons, mostly for sleep.
All right.
They're expecting it to be a sleep medicine. You take it, you fall out, you're gone.
Yeah.
This is not Ambien. This is a sleep enhancer that shifts your circadian rhythm to allow you to sleep. Now, guess what? We got someone on the line. I'm so excited. Hello, welcome.
Hello.
You're live on BAI. Your name, please.
My name is Connie, and I'm calling from Chelsea here in Manhattan. It's pretty hard to get through to you guys on the phone. I mean, it just keeps going off and everything, you know, seriously. So there are probably a lot of people who are trying all the time. I know, it's okay. But what kept me
I thought nobody wanted to talk to us.
No, it just keeps
coming. No, they call, I hang up, the show's over. I get 5, 6, 7 calls of people who had been trying to get through. And I'm not aware of that when I'm on the air. But please,
yeah,
Connie, you're a neighbor
happened,
of mine.
Yeah.
I'm in Chelsea right now as we're speaking. So.
Oh, okay. I'll meet you on the street.
Yay.
Used to say in the 60s. I have an adult son. He's 40. Who has a problem with narcolepsy. And I look all the time on the computer and everything to see what the latest idea is. And from time to time, I've given him melatonin, but not, I mean, like when he was younger. He got it when he was about 16. He moved down to Virginia with his father, and he was going to a school that was probably in some ways less stringent than the New York City schools, and so he was falling asleep, and then he was about to get in trouble, so they sent him to a, he said, you know, I just fall asleep or whatever, so they sent him to a sleep place where they put electrodes on his head, you know, overnight, which I never would have sat still for. They tried to put him on Ritalin. It was probably the whole place was probably sponsored by Ritalin, you know, because it was free. You always know when something's free, it really isn't, you know. But in any case, he didn't like the Ritalin, and so his father didn't make him take it. But in the meantime, he really has. I thought it was a complete, you know, that he was just pulling the wool over the eyes of the people in the school. But I've seen him do stuff. I mean, he doesn't fall down or any of that business. But I've seen him do stuff that really doesn't look like himself as I knew him up to age 15. I do believe that he has something called narcolepsy. But in any case, I was wondering if there's anything that you know of that could help as far as the melatonin goes with him.
It should help. I just briefly looked here. Melatonin has been used to try to treat narcolepsy by doing it, as we were talking about, creating that burst in the night to set the circadian rhythm. And they said with narcolepsy, the rhythm is off, the REM sleep is off. So it has been tried. And they even had it occur in animals, where they use melatonin to treat animals. So I would say it's worth a go. And like Corinne said earlier in the show, it would have to be a burst of melatonin, not a several times a day melatonin to try to reestablish that. But I surely think that's worth a try, and certainly no damage could be done.
Right. But do you know of any studies that are being done on it at all, or anything like that?
Go on.
I just saw a little. I haven't looked into that specific thing in preparation. So we can look. Perhaps I can post something at our Facebook page afterwards.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
Because what you're asking for is a little bit of research, and this is a bit of a switch on what we're talking about. But I would do a double thing. And just like Carol, I love the, but I'd start slow and low.
Right. You
it's
said
very important
one.
To go slow right. and low. Okay.
Okay.
So I would do melatonin slow and low. So he goes into a deep sleep. Has he had any sleep studies at night?
Well, he had that original one, and, you know, where they wanted to give him Ritalin, and then, but that was when he was, you know, in his teens.
Do they say he's sleeping at night? He's going into REM sleep?
Well, I know when he was with me, one of the reasons I let him go with his father was that he had a Game Boy thing, which I should have thrown out the window. But I would come at night over to where he was. He had this little loft in his bedroom, and I would see the shine up there that he was in the middle of the night playing this stupid Game Boy. And so then, of course, he wouldn't want to go to school in the morning. And so it was, this was all part of what I thought the so-called narcolepsy was. I thought, no, he's just up all night doing that stupid stuff. And of course he's sleepy. But in any case, and when he would say he didn't want to go to school, I thought he was just, you know, I didn't realize it was because he was sleepy or whatever the thing. So I haven't wanted to push for, I mean, especially after the Ritalin idea, I haven't wanted to push for any kind of things of sleep studies, of putting electrodes on his head, any of that kind of stuff, because I don't go for that. And to begin with, I had taken him over to Gary Null, and they had figured out that he shouldn't have milk and cornflakes or whatever the morning. Okay, but we weren't really doing that so much, you know, but it was whatever. I will try this of you know, I'll tell him, for one thing, to look this up and hear the whole thing and see what it feels like for him. He does a lot of meditation. He does a lot of things by now. You know, by now he has a child of his own, so he's really trying to put an end to it or to help it, because it's a worry about having a car, you know, things like that. And now he's out in Colorado, where you really pretty much need a car. When he was in the city,
so
of course, we don't need cars.
So, you know, first of all, Colorado is a big state for holistic medicine. So he could, if he chooses to, find a very good doctor out there in Colorado.
He
wouldn't go to the first or the most convenient or the newest. I would go to the most experienced. I'm also looking on a whole, right now as we're talking, I'm looking on one of my favorite holistic pages. And they're talking about melatonin use and how it can be beneficial. But what I would do is I would do melatonin in the day and exercise heavily in the morning. So you get everything in motion. So you're doing a cycle. You're doing back and forth and back and forth. And then there's something else. I would use herbals. I would use ginseng. I would use rhodiola. These are adaptogens. So they energize people who are tired and relax people who are stressed. And so they're adaptogens. And I would look to adaptogens and some, I would also do an extensive blood test on his hormones. Mm-hmm. And where are they at? Does he have adequate testosterone? Are we dealing with something like that? And I don't think that's the cause, but we're not looking at the cause any longer. We're now trying to strengthen the person and strengthen the system. Mm-hmm. And so, but guess what? He's 40 years old. And you, Mom, you could make a suggestion. But he's got to seek this out himself, and that's essential.
Well, he seems to be. He seems to
well,
be.
He's in the right course, state.
I'm sorry?
He's in the right state.
Uh-huh. And he's got daily sunshine, which is a big thing.
And he's
thing.
Got daily sunshine.
Colorado's got like 300 days of sunshine, I believe.
And Colorado has
a lot of water.
Is one of the most exercised states in the union. I think it is the most where people exercise the most.
I love it, and I would just want a lot more rain. You know, because when you go over in the airplane,
we can't have everything,
and then it's sand. It's sand for a long time. Yeah, but water's important. Water's kind of important. You know, that's the only thing that bothers me is to see all that sand and then, woohoo, Denver. You know, like white.
I'm from LA, and you fly over the Mojave Desert, and then you arrive in LA. So I'm pretty used to that.
Right.
Okay, darling, I really appreciate your call, and I appreciate what you added to the conversation. It's quite lovely. So thank you very much. And I'm glad you stuck with it. I didn't know that. I knew there was something wrong, but I didn't know that it's so difficult to get through to us. Thank you.
Yeah. We'll check into that. There's another big piece I wanted to bring up before our time runs out.
Go right ahead.
And it's melatonin's relationship with heavy metals.
Mm.
And melatonin's relationship with plants. So it turns out that all species of animals and plants also produce melatonin. And melatonin has been studied extensively to help plants grow more in a more healthy fashion. This is very exciting work. There's good evidence that additional melatonin supplementation can help the abundance of produce and stuff. Also, it was theorized that, do you remember the great potato famine for Irish potato famine, 1845, 1852? This organism, Phytophthora infestans, was a causative organism, but melatonin is known to suppress that kind of bacterial activity. But one of the things that melatonin is believed to do is to complex with heavy metals. And in the literature, I found that it's making complexes with aluminum, cadmium, copper, iron, even zinc. And what is happening is it's not quite, as we call it, chelator. It just makes a complex. And complexing with those metals takes the charge away.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not doing damage any longer.
Right. And so that's
tissue.
That's right. So that's free metals like that are enormously oxidant. And so in its antioxidant function, or maybe just this complexing function, melatonin is able to diminish the effects of heavy toxic metals. And that's a big deal. Dietrich Klinghardt actually recommends what we talked about earlier, the liposomal melatonin, for exactly that, for heavy metal detox.
Interesting.
So so that's a really big piece. And I hadn't thought of it. There's another thing, and I just thought of this while we're on.
Quickly.
Melatonin was even
30 seconds.
Even recommended birth control.
Oh, yes, for years.
Do you remember this?
They're still working on it for birth control because it is a master hormone, and it controls the release of estrogen and the release of progesterone.
Right,
and
right.
Melatonin can be very powerful, and the thing that makes it so good is that it's not permanent, so you can use it, and then it blocks.
Not use it.
yep. Yeah, and then your fertility comes back. It's not something that's permanent. So I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for holding on and calling in. And I would very much like you to call and make a donation to BAI. I really loved when we were coming on, there was a little short that thanked all the producers and all the people that work at BAI. Well, I was so proud of that. It was so lovely because so many of us work and work and work, and we're just unsung. The engineer, Reggie, he's the unsung hero that keeps this whole place moving. There are many unsung people behind BAI working 24/7. To keep this station alive, vibrant, and healthy for all of us to listen to. So show your appreciation. This is a 60-year contract that we've made. We're keeping our end up. The number to call is 212-209-2950, and your end is 2 at any level that you can. Please call in and support WBAI. And if you just click take charge of your health, that's even nicer. So thank you so much. This is our Back to Basics series, and we'll be back next week. What a wonderful way to spend an hour with you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we